World Football at AFCON with John Bennett.
Welcome to the show. Hello again. Great to have you with us. It's an Africa Cup of Nations that can't stop delivering the drama and the plot twists. The defending champion Senegal are out, and it's redemption for Ivory Coast. They had their bags packed at the team hotel last week. They thought they were out after two defeats in a row. They even sacked their manager. But now they're into the last eight. The Ivorians win on penalties after a really impressive fight back in the 90 minutes. Reaction and analysis to come. Meanwhile, Cap Verde through to the quarterfinals for the second time in their history. We'll discuss whether they can keep upsetting the odds. And we look ahead to the final two matches in the last 16. It's been a tournament of shocks. So can South Africa provide us with another huge upset, perhaps the biggest one, against World Cup heroes Morocco? So I'm back after a couple of days off. This guy never rests during AFCON, though. Former DR Congo captain Gabriel Zakwani. Still celebrating the DRC win, Gabby?
Yeah. I mean, I won't stop celebrating until Friday, really, until kickoff.
The worst thing was that I'm happy for your team, don't get me wrong, but you knocked out the team that I predicted to win the whole competition, Egypt. My predictions are in tatters yet again, and I hold your nation responsible. You didn't tell me your goalkeeper was that good at penalties.
I didn't know either. No, but I think it made it a lot more sweeter, because I was thinking, okay, I'm happy for my nation, but I'm even more happy that John's record continues in AFCON.
You're a cruel man. All hope lies with South Africa. Oh, dear me. Right, let's move away from that and get to the big story. Ivory Coast are through. Senegal are out. What a turnaround. After their rotten group stage, when they only just made it through, they were one of the four best third-place finishers. And 2 years ago, they lost on penalties as well in the last 16. So it's complete redemption for Ivory Coast. And this is some fact as well. No defending champion has reached the last eight of AFCON since 2010. That was Egypt. So the story of the game, Senegal made the perfect start. Habib Diallo with an excellent finish. 3 minutes and 15 seconds, the earliest goal for Senegal in an AFCON knockout game. We thought it would be plain sailing after that for Senegal. There was a massive talking point on 9 minutes. Sadio Mane with a studs up challenge on Ibrahim Sangare, and he was lucky not to get a red card. He was only booked. VAR didn't get involved. After that, Ivory Coast really seemed to improve, particularly after half-time. Edouard Mendy made a couple of really good saves. The substitutes made a big difference. And with 6 minutes to go, Edouard Mendy, the Senegal goalkeeper, brought down Nicola Pepe in the box after a really good ball by Sebastien Haller. Penalty given. Franck Kessier scored 1-1, and the hosts deserve that equaliser. Extra time, I think Ivory Coast probably the better team, although Sadio Mane had a great chance, went to the penalty shootout, and Kessier scored the winner. It finished 5-4. Moussa Niakate, the unlucky Senegal player, hitting the post with his spot kick. Gabby, the twists and turns at this AFCON continue. Did you see that coming?
No, I didn't see it coming. I thought, because Senegal scored so early, I thought it would be routine for them, but they coast through games. They don't really like go for the kill. They just play around with the ball and look comfortable. And I thought it would be enough somehow, you know, but fair play to Ivory Coast for coming on strong in the second half. And I thought the changes they made, I think bringing on Pepe was a big difference today. I thought he added some legs going forward for Ivory Coast and started causing Senegal problems. And I thought their legs ran out. They couldn't keep up with the running of the Ivory Coast midfield and attacking players. So it was deserved, but I didn't see it coming with Senegal, because they've looked so comfortable throughout the tournament.
Yeah, I think we have to give credit to the interim coach, MS Faye, because he made some big calls, didn't he? You mentioned the substitutes he brought on, but also the players who started the game. He made some changes. He brought Seri in midfield, who actually got the Man of the Match prize. And we should remind you about the dramatic build-up. So they sat their manager, Jean-Louis Gasset, appointed MS Faye as the interim coach, but they actually tried to appoint another interim head coach on a loan deal ahead of MS Faye. We're talking about Hervé Renard, the coach who led them to the AFCON title in 2015. He's currently manager of the France women's team. And the French FA turned that approach down. So Faye was in charge, and he got all the big calls right, didn't he, Gabby?
He did. I mean, looking at it now, for him, he's living in dreamland because he's coming out of nowhere, been thrown right into the deep end with a side that's not performing. That's been shocking, to be honest, up till today, the second half. They even started the game pretty badly, I would say. Not well, the fact they conceded so early, I thought it was normal service resumed in a Ivory Coast, but he managed to get the best out of him. He brought in experience as well, seeing Max Gradle involved as well. Someone that has been around the team for a long time. So maybe just that little bit of stability he wanted, that familiarity around the team. That probably helped settle the nerves. But I thought it was his changes. I thought he did them at the right time. And it was when Senegal were tiring. We all know Senegal at the moment, they are an aging team as well. And I think that played a factor in it to bring on the speed players later on. Really, really did cause problems. And it did, Senegal couldn't cope with it. They looked the more likely scorers as the game went on.
And they found a winning formula now. Suddenly they'll have confidence going into the last day with Pepe, Adingra, Haller, Kessie, suddenly finding form. And suddenly this looks like a really good team that possibly could go all the way.
Yeah, it does. I mean, they even took off key players. You know, Fofana came off. So, you know, he's a key player. And they still performed. So I thought when he was off the pitch, I thought, yeah, they may struggle here because he seemed to link everything in the middle and create things going forward. He was that driving force. But the legs they've got, because they've got a lot of energy in the team. And I think being at home as well, that extra push from the crowd as well, adds things to it. So now it could be interesting. So they've gone from, well, packing their bags to potentially now looking like one of the favourites.
What about Senegal then? Do you think this is the end of an era? I was just looking at the ages of the players. Sadio Mane, 31. Kalidou Koulibaly, 32. Idrissa Gueye, 34. Did it look like the end of an era to you?
I think it's the end of their spine. So the spine, the era of that spine. You know, you've had Koulibaly, who's been a fixture in that lineup. Sadio Mane, potentially, because of the way he plays and his energy, potentially could have one more.
He had a poor game, didn't he, Mane?
He did. But by his standards, he had a very poor game. He did his running, which Mane never shies away from running around and making it difficult for the opposition. But on the ball and things you expect from Mane as a world-class striker, and he's earned that right, he just didn't show that today.
And it's kind of incidental now, but he should have been sent off, shouldn't he, in the first half. That was an awful challenge on Sangare. Studs up. And I have to say, and we've both said this, haven't we? Video assistant referee system at this AFCON has worked really well. Better, I think, than the English Premier League, which you and I watch week in, week out. But I'm not sure how Sadio Mane wasn't sent off. I mean, Stoke and Peterborough fans will have been reminded of a young Gabriel Zakuani sliding in there. But yeah, do you know how he only got a yellow for that?
I thought he was gone. You know, the fact that it was VAR, I thought 100% they'll look back on it and take him off, because that in any Premiership games, that's a red card. The only thing is, in Africa, they seem to let a few things go sometimes. Maybe his profile helped the ref. They didn't want to ruin the game, spoil the game. I don't know. But for me, I think that anyone looking at that studs up, and he weren't really in control as well. I think that is a red card.
So finally, before we move on to the other game, Ivory Coast through, and the atmosphere was incredible. It always does help, doesn't it, a tournament to have the host going through and going far. And now suddenly, from nowhere, we have got the host going through and going far.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere was unbelievable. I mean, you can barely hear the commentators. You know, that's how loud it was. It was a party atmosphere in there. And when they were urging their team, you know, you didn't hear many groans. They were urging their team to get back in the game. And when they did get back in the game, they were giving them that push. You could see the energy from the crowd helping them get through. But I think this AFCON, there seems to be good attendances for every game. You know, every game has looked pretty packed. So it's been a very, very good tournament, but it always helps the atmosphere in and around the place when the hosts are still in it, and somehow they've hung on in there.
Let's get to Cap Verde making it to the quarterfinals, beating Mauritania by 1-0. A blood and thunder game. Both sides going for it, not sitting back. But just the one goal, a penalty in the 88th minute. Ryan Mendes firing it down the middle to win it for Cap Verde. Take them into the quarters for the first time since 2013. That was their debut AFCON in 2013. The penalty came after a mistake, a back pass from a header. Gilson Tavares ran through on goal. The keeper brought him down. They look good, this Cap Verde team. I felt sorry for Mauritania because they did go for it. But do you think it was the right winner in the end, Gabby?
Oh, yeah. In terms of balance of play, you've got to give it to Cap Verde, and I think they were the favourites going into the game. I did expect them to go through just because of what they've shown leading up to this game. So I didn't expect anything different. The only surprise was that the goal came so late. And that's credit to Mauritania for holding out for that long. But they had a go themselves. They didn't exactly sit back, which was kind of, I thought, was probably the wrong tactic. But in the end, it nearly worked out. But they actually went for it. But Cap Verde, I think when you look at the chances and the balance of play, possession, they were in control throughout.
Yeah, they just couldn't hit the target, Mauritania. Mm. 11 shots, but not one on target. But they're well coached, aren't they, Cap Verde? Bubista, the coach. You can't write them off in the last eight. They've got some real momentum. And what is it, 8 goals so far, 7 different scorers. It's a real team effort.
It is. You know, they don't really have any standout stars, as you would say, like looking at them. But they're playing really, as a team, and you can see their identity. They play good football. And they don't concede many. So it's the perfect balance at the moment. And they're going under the radar, but they're now in the quarterfinals. They've got to fancy themselves to potentially keep creating shocks.
Sensational from Cap Verde. Time now to look ahead to Tuesday's last 16 ties. So Mali against Burkina Faso. And the game of the day for me, Morocco, one of the favourites against South Africa. Let's get the thoughts of friend of world football at AFCON, former South Africa captain Dean Furman. So can Bafana upset the odds and knock out the World Cup semi-finalists?
Absolutely, they can cause an upset. I can't wait for it. We've recently come up against Morocco in the qualifying campaign, lost away, but beat them at home. Potentially Morocco didn't have a full-strength squad by then because they'd already qualified. But Bafana can go into that game with no pressure, as we did against Egypt in 2019, go and enjoy themselves. Hopefully we see that free-flowing football that we did in the first half against Mali, and when the boys are on it and that combination play is on point, it's very, very difficult to stop. So I'm hoping that Bafana really take, there's no pressure on them, go and enjoy themselves, go and play their free, open style of football and cause Morocco a few problems.
And Morocco have some injury problems. Sofiane Boufal out for the rest of the tournament. Hakim Ziyech is injured as well. Former DR Congo captain Gabriel Zakwani with me. What are you thinking, Gabby? Do you think maybe there's a chance of an upset?
Yeah, I think there is. I think, as we've seen in this tournament, it's not been straightforward. So Morocco, on paper, for me, the stronger team, more organised. They know how to play the big game. So I can't see anything past that. But again, after today, I can't really put my finger on who's going to win in the end.
Yeah, they haven't been totally convincing, have they, Morocco, so far?
No, not convincing at all. I don't think they've been convincing. They all looked any better than anyone, rightly so. But on paper, they keep getting the job done. And I think they're playing tournament football. They're used to it. So I do expect them to have too much to just go through. To edge it, it will be an open game, but I think they'll edge it just by their experience in big games.
And then it's two teams that you rate very highly. Mali against Burkina Faso. They both haven't won since their opening game. They don't really have momentum, but Mali surely just about edged this one. Yves Bissouma back to full fitness. I think it goes to penalties, but maybe Mali just edge it.
No, I don't think. I think this one Mali will win in normal time, I think. I think that factor, they just have a little bit more quality. I think it's both sides have done well to get to this stage. I think I expected Mali to maybe do a bit more, and they've done
so
far.
Why have they been so cagey, both of these teams, since the opening day? They got the job done opening in their opening game, and then they've just been doing enough since then?
Yeah, but that's what it is. I think when you win your first game, it makes it easier for you, and knowing you can maybe end third and still go through, I think that helps. It settles the nerves down. But now this is a knockout game, so someone has to win. So it'll be a lot more open than their last couple of games that they've played. So I do expect it to be a bit more end-to-end. But for Mali, when it's end-to-end, I think they have the better players to create things and make it a victory for them to go through.
Yeah, I mean, it's two more excellent games in prospect. I tell you what, Morocco are going to be so worried. All these upsets, all these shocks, they are going to be worried about South Africa. Gabby, thank you so much. That is all we got time for. Mike McCarthy will be with you for the next World Football at AFCON, talking you through the final two last 16 games and the full quarterfinal lineup as well. And the next time I speak to you, all being well, will be from Ivory Coast. I'm off to get my passport. Speak soon.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.